more information on what you've heard? Have a travel question or comment? Just log on to petergreenberg.com. Now, here's Peter.
33 minutes after the hour, Peter Greenberg here with you as Eye on Travel continues from Los Angeles. You can always reach me. That's an easy one. Just email me to peter@petergreenberg.com with your name, phone number, question, or problem. We'll solve it right here on the air. Let's go right to some of those emails right now. Here's one from Linda Rush who writes, "We want to rent a car mid-October in the U.S. I just read that it's impossible to get one now, and if you do, it's double what it was to rent. Three questions. One, where do those rental cars go that have been dumped from car lots? Two, when will rental prices go down to reasonable again? And three, would you recommend Turo and other sites like that?" Lots of things to unpack here, Linda. Number one, let me tell you where the rental cars went. The rental car companies stuck with thousands, and I mean hundreds of thousands of non-performing, non-operational, non-rentable cars in their parking lots during the pandemic. They sold them to the used car market. They went to the big car auctions. They reduced their fleet. They shrunk the fleet. And you say it was double what it was to cost? No. How about eight times more? I mean, the cost of a car to rent in Arizona can be as much as $500 a day. In Hawaii, it's been up to $1,000 a day. The cost of a little Kia to rent in Florida was more than $300 a day. Now, number two to your question, when will the rental prices go down? Well, you mentioned October. That's okay. Summer's over. So I think that'll be okay. And would I recommend Turo in October? Always be a good comparison shopper. See what the rental car companies are offering. But remember this. If you can possibly avoid it, do not rent at the airport, because the airport rental fees charged to the car rental companies to operate there are pretty large and high, and they basically pass it on to you. You'll see car rental prices between 20 and 25% higher at airports in some cases than they are in downtown locations. It's cheaper to take the shuttle to go downtown. And then I don't know of a rental car company that charges you a drop-off charge to return it to the same airport in the same city. So that's how I would do it. But we will be watching this, because those prices are out of control right now. But mid-October, I think we'll be in good shape. Here's a very interesting question from Carol Lovey, who writes, "Do you leave a tip at the hotel each day for the housekeeper, or do you leave it at the end of your stay? I have found that the room may not be serviced by the same person each day." You know what? Here's what I do. I was just recently in Turkey, and they have different housekeepers on different shifts. And I was there for 3 weeks, so I really wanted to leave a significant tip because the service was so incredible. I found out the name of the housekeeper. I talked to her. I found out the name of the other housekeeper on the other shift. And when I checked out, I left an envelope for each of them because they deserve it, especially in the era of COVID-19. So that's what I would do. Listen, find out the name of your housekeeper. It's not a difficult thing to do. In fact, if you're really lucky, engage in a conversation with your housekeeper. That's how you learn everything you need to know about the hotel and some fun stories along the way, too. All right, so that's it. It's always been a difficult topic, tipping, but then the question is, of course, how much are you going to leave? And I try to do an average of $5 a day for every housekeeper, or if it's exceptional service, 10. You know, if you're there more than 3 or 4 days, they get to know you by your habits about what you use in the room and what you don't use in the room, or how you use it. And I came back to my room one day and they left me two extra pillows on the bed. You know what? You got to love that. I build my little fort at night and go to bed. But you know what? They thought about it. They were thoughtful about it. I tipped them accordingly. All right, there you go. And by the way, you should continue to do that when the pandemic is over. Okay, here's one from Rochelle Tunick, who writes, "I've listened to your conversations about the return to cruising. My favorite is Disney Cruise Line, even though I don't have kids." Wow. It's a small world after. Okay, forget that. The only thing that drives me nuts about Disney Cruise Line, honestly, and I'm not kidding, is the horn on those ships. Have you heard a horn on a Disney ship? Can I do it for you? Bum, 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 bum. That's the horn. Now, it's okay when they blow it once. It's probably okay if they blow it twice. But when they're giving tours of the bridge and every kid wants to pull the horn, help me. Please help me. Okay, anyway, forgetting that, Rochelle wants to know, she's currently booked on the Fantasy for the end of August 2021. What do you think Disney will or could do to restart cruising, since their customer base includes so many families with children who are unlikely to be vaccinated, pending testing and approval of vaccines? And bottom line is, the deal is, Disney will know better than anybody what to do with scheduling. If the CDC, and it's possible, by the way, if the CDC lifts the conditional sale order and does so by July, there's every reason to believe that Disney will keep their schedule for August because all the kids are out of school and that's where they want to cruise. So I would stay on top of that. But at the same time, I would have a conversation with Disney now to find out what your rights are in terms of a refund should Disney cancel. Now, Disney can do something else, by the way. They and other cruise ships have done it. They could literally reposition their ship instead of sailing out of Florida or Port Canaveral. They might sail it out of the Bahamas or out of one of the other Caribbean locations, and then it's just an extra add-on airline ticket for you to get down there. Right now, with the cruise lines battling the CDC on whether or not they're going to be allowed to sail from U.S. ports, I wouldn't put it past any cruise line to start moving more ships out of the U.S. So we will be watching that. But bottom line is, have that conversation with Disney and anybody else listening to the show. If you've got a cruise booked in July, August, September, or October, have that conversation with your cruise line as to what your rights are for getting a refund in the event the cruise is either rescheduled, repositioned, or outright canceled. Okay? I hope that's helpful. When we come back, we're going to talk about national parks. And there are so many options this year if you move quickly. Back with more right after this.
Please remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. Eye on Travel. We'll be right back.